Welcome to Stateside. I am Zoe Clark in today for Cynthia Canty. So recently I was talking with a pollster and another journalist on TV, Zach Gorchow. He is a friend of Stateside. And he asked this pollster what I thought was a really great question.
Does the media understand how to write about and cover polls overall?
You know, this has been a huge concern of mine. I've been talking about it for years now in Michigan.
That's Richard Shuba answering there. He was the pollster, and he was a guest on Public TV's Off the Record.
I think there are some reporters that treat polling the way it should, which is not to predict, but to help inform why voters are moving in the direction they're moving. My concern here in Michigan particularly is there is a lot of schlock polling.
A lot of schlock polling. And it's gotten me thinking more and more about how we cover polls. So, Richard, I made you come back to answer some more questions. Welcome.
It's great to be here.
So you're the founder of Glengariff Group. You have been conducting survey research for 35 years. So I look to you. How should the media, how should news consumers look at polling in 2018?
Well, I think they should look at polling with a grain of salt, to be honest.
Says someone who makes their living doing polls.
Well, I just think there's too much attention being paid to the horse race. Mm-hmm. He's ahead, she's ahead, whatever that horse race is, and not enough attention being paid to why are voters moving in that direction. And what we try to do with our polling is inform why there is movement. Why people are shifting in one direction or another. You know, you look at the horse race because it tells you directions things are heading. But informing the voter is what public polling should be all about.
And I want to say, I mean, just I don't want to like just, you know, do a plug for Michigan Radio, but we don't actually cover polls in our headlines. We talk about trends or look, you know, was one candidate doing well over a few months, but we simply don't do that headline. So-and-so is ahead or, you know, behind. And some of that you talk about simply because of the math. If you have a poll that is, let's say, 41% to 43, you say, like, don't even read into that. That doesn't mean something.
Yeah, 41-43, that's a toss-up race. Because you always have this thing called the margin of error, which in a 600 sample is a 4%. So when you have a close race, it's a toss-up. Nobody's leading.
But that's not the sexy headline, right?
No, it's not. You quoted me earlier saying there's a lot of schluck polling. It's not just Michigan. It's all over the place. And that's why I think voters need to, you know, take some time to understand what it is they're saying. Don't put too much stock in it, and certainly don't base a decision on it.
So give us some handy things then for advice. I mean, I'm talking like survey size, margin of error, whether it's through cell phones, automated calls.
You know, both for the voter and the media, there are some basic rules to follow. One is, who paid for the survey? If that's not disclosed, discard it. Secondly, what's the size of the sample? If you aren't told what the margin of error is, again, grain of salt time. Is it a landline and cell phone sample? And what that means is, you know, a lot of polls these days are done robo-polls, automated polls, computer-generated to landline telephones, and you press buttons on your phone in response. But that doesn't take into account the huge percentage of voters who are on cell phones. And that's why I always say you need to know what the cell phone sample was as part of that poll.
Because younger people are using cell phones.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a reason pollsters don't want to call cell phones. It's expensive. Federal law requires you have to hand dial that number before you can talk to the person on the cell phone. And that's really expensive compared to computer generating numbers over and over on landlines.
So I want to talk about the elephant in the room, 2016. I mean, we all were sure, right, that Hillary Clinton was going to become President Clinton because of polling. Do you think that polls and sort of how wrong they were in 2016, like, is there going to be a time when polling gets to be trusted again? I mean, there's just, it feels like folks just don't trust polls right now.
Well, you know, let's talk about 2016. Actually, the national polling was correct. It had Hillary Clinton with a very narrow national lead, which is exactly what turned out to be the case. In Michigan, it was a different story. We put out our last public poll October 11th, which was 4 weeks from the election. That poll is a perfect example of that is not a predictor of what will happen on election day. It is a snapshot for what was going on in that second week of October. And what we saw in Michigan was the race beginning to tighten. Probably about 2 weeks out, it started to tighten a little. And then when the Comey letter hit, that race changed. But there was very little public polling that was released after that letter. So, you know, one of the things is polling costs money, and there's not many in the media who can afford to pay the cost. So that final week when many races close is kind of a wasteland of polling. There's nobody doing it.
Richard Shuba is the founder of Glengariff Group, been conducting survey research for 35 years. Here's to another couple decades, I hope, for your wisdom.
Let's see if I can make it that long.
Or through just one more election cycle.